In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Gospel of today's Mass, our Lord uses His spittle in order to open the ears and to loose the tongue of the deaf and the dumb man. Every miracle of our Lord, particularly those that are recorded, have a spiritual meaning, a message that He wished to convey for the spiritual order. He was not there simply to heal people like a doctor. And the spiritual message here in this gospel is our deafness to the Word of God and our misuse of our faculty of speech. And our Lord heals these things by His spittle. You must understand that in the Old Testament, spittle is a sign of wisdom. And He uses His spittle to heal these ailments of the deaf and the dumb man. And we should understand from that the nature of the sacraments. God has instituted the sacraments in the same way that He used His spittle. It was a humiliating thing for that man to undergo the anointing of his ears and his mouth with the spittle of our blessed Lord. Just as it is a humiliating thing for us to approach the font of baptism in need of that water, which is such a common element and so below us by nature, in need of that thing in order to attain a spiritual effect, the greatest of all spiritual effects, which is the reduction of our soul from the state of sin to the state of sanctifying grace. For this same reason, because of our dependency on the waters of baptism, which was, by the way, given to us by our Lord by His own baptism in the Jordan, because of this dependence, we also are sprinkled on Sunday mornings with water as an extension or reminder of our baptisms. We are there using a sacramental. And when we dip our hands into the holy water, we are also participating in a type of extension of our baptisms with this same dependency on water elevated for a spiritual and supernatural use. In the same way, we are dependent on the words of the priest in the use of the sacraments and sacramentals. We are dependent on the use of oil and other natural elements which Christ or the Church have instituted with regard to the sacraments or the sacramentals. And this is by way of humiliating us that we learn to be subject even to elements that are far below us, elements which have been raised up by God for a spiritual effect. And so our blessed Lord uses His spittle to cure. For this same reason, the priest, if you notice in baptisms, wets his finger with his own spittle and anoints with his spittle the ears of the child in imitation of this very act of our blessed Lord in the Gospel. Today I would like to speak to you, therefore, about our faculty of speech, its proper use, and the sins against it. All things are made by God for the purpose of His glory. Hence, our faculty of speech must be used always for the greater glory of God. And we may do this either directly or indirectly. We glorify God directly by our speech through the profession of the faith, by preaching, as I am doing right now, by the teaching of catechism, by vocal prayer, and by singing in liturgical choirs. We all have the obligation of so praising and glorifying God with our faculty of speech, each according to our condition in life, our abilities, our state in life, and as the occasion arises. Thus, he who cannot sing has no obligation to sing in a liturgical choir, while he who can sing is obliged unless there be some reason why he cannot. We indirectly praise God by our faculty of speech by saying everything which pertains to our duties of state and life to say. When the plumber, therefore, speaks about plumbing, he is using his faculty of speech for the honor and the glory of God. Included in this is even recreational conversation, what we might do at a party or a get-together, provided that the subject matter is decent and honest. Recreational conversation becomes, however, idle talk when it is excessive. And our Lord even says that we will have to account for idle talk. That is how strict the judgment will be. We understand from this principle, then, what are the sins of the tongue. The sins of the tongue against God directly are, first of all blasphemy, all statements of heresy or apostasy, all jokes about God, and please pay attention to those, jokes about priests or about the church, undue criticism of priests, of the church, is also included in this, for the priests and the church are of God. We may also include blasphemous gestures or writing, which are a form of speech. The written word is simply a symbol of the spoken word, and gesture as well is a way of manifesting what is in our minds. Secondly, against God directly, is all negligence. To profess the faith, all negligence to pray vocally when we ought to, negligence to instruct others in the faith when it is our obligation. And we may also sin against God indirectly by the many daily sins of the tongue which are against justice or charity. We have, first of all, the sin of lying, which is to speak against one's mind. Not every mistake that a man makes is a lie. To lie is to speak against your mind, knowing that what you are saying is not what is in your mind. It is contrary to the nature of the faculty of speech, which is given to us by God to tell the truth. The lie, therefore, is intrinsically evil. It is a lie even to lead someone to believe an untruth, even though you do not state it. If you purposely leave someone deceived, you have lied. Lying is a lack of justice towards one's neighbor, and it is also a misuse of a faculty given to us by God. Another sin against the faculty of speech is the sin of detraction. Detraction is to tell the secret fault of another without a serious reason. The very definition implies that secret faults of others may be told if there is a serious reason. The third sin is calumny, which is to tell a lie about someone else, harming or destroying his reputation. The fourth is backbiting, which is to criticize someone behind his back. Another is contumely, which is to insult a person to his face. A sixth is complaining, which is to unnecessarily whine about problems of life or the faults of a superior. The spiritual author Louis of Granada says this concerning destructive criticism or complaining. He says, "For just as some people have no taste for sweet things, but prefer bitter or spicy things, so some persons are so melancholy or dyspeptic that they find no delight in praising others, but do nothing but ridicule, criticize, and detract, or treat others with disdain. On all other subjects of conversation, they are silent. But when this chord is struck, they seem to come to life and to revive their spirits in order to contribute their share to the criticism of others." How true this is of many people who actually take a certain delight in complaining and in finding fault, in finding something negative about life. And the seventh sin is talebearing, which is to recount to the person criticized what another has said about him. Now, criticism may be leveled when there is a serious reason, as I said. Some mistakenly think that it is against charity to think or to say something negative about another person. This is not true. Charity does not require us to be unrealistic. It does not require us to live in a world of dreams, in a world of non-reality. And when sin is before us, it is before us. And it is not wrong to think it, and it is not wrong to say it when there is a reason to say it. Criticism, or even the revelation of the secret faults of others, is justified and even necessary when the individual or common good should demand it. But this criticism should always be objective, impersonal, and without sarcasm. It should be done in a way as if you were talking about a personal friend or a dear relative, with the same kindness, with the same regard, with the same reserve, it should be done. Because we are required to love our neighbor for God's sake, that is, to love him as God loves him. We should add to the sins of the tongue all improper language. Distinguish in improper language, first of all, impure language, which is far more serious, very often a mortal sin. That is, references to impure things. And secondly, vulgar language, which is usually a venial sin, the use of improper words. The use of vulgar language is against the sin of justice, or rather the virtue of justice, for this reason, that people have a right to listen to proper words, clean and good conversation. Your neighbor has a right to that, and you violate that right by using vulgar language in his presence. Just as you, as a neighbor, have a right to the fact that your own neighbor keep his yard clean if he throws garbage out in front of his home, he is violating justice by not keeping up his yard. So also, in his conversation, he has an obligation to you to remain correct in the words that he uses. Take that principle and apply it even more to the principle of impure language. Impure language violates that justice even more, that people should be subject to listening to and conjuring up thoughts of impurity as a person speaks. it is also directly against the virtue of purity. And Catholics should never be pronouncing either vulgar language or impure language. Remember, it is with the same tongue that you say those things that you come and receive our blessed Lord. And there is a very deep incongruity between the use of improper language and the reception of the most blessed sacrament on that same tongue. The remedy to sins of the tongue is greater recollection. We sin when we speak without thinking about the law of God, when we fall into habits of criticism of others, or habits of impure or improper language, habits of criticism. And we do so without thinking. And recollection and the referral of what we are about to say to the law of God is the way in which we overcome these sins. Sins that against the virtue of justice and the virtue of charity with regard to the faculty of speech may be mortal or venial according to their matter and according to their effect. To seriously destroy the reputation of another is a mortal sin. To use language which is so impure that it conjures up impure thoughts in others is a mortal sin. To blaspheme against the goodness of God is a mortal sin. Yet to use vulgar language or to mention light criticism of others is a venial sin. In all cases, it's sinful, however. And it is only by recollection concerning what we are about to say that we will bridle the tongue. Our ability to reflect before we speak comes only from a more intense prayer life. Because a more intense prayer life increases our love of God. It is like deer going to the waters, going to the clear waters and drinking therefrom. It increases our love of God, and because we pay attention to that which we love, this increase of love of God will increase the attention that we pay to God. And this attention that we pay to God in our daily conversation, in our daily activity, is what regulates our thoughts, our speech, and our actions according to His law. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.